This morning's reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, starting at verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord, your God, for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. In that day, the Lord will whistle for flies from the distant streams of Egypt and for bees from the land of Assyria. They will all come and settle in the steep ravines and in the crevices in the rocks, on all the thorn bushes and at all the water holes. In that day, the Lord will use a razor hired from beyond the river, the king of Assyria, to shave your head and the hair of your legs and to take off your beard also. In that day, a man will keep alive a young cow and two goats, and because of the abundance of the milk they give, he will have curds to eat. All who remain in the land will eat curds and honey. In that day, in every place where there are 1,000 vines worth 1,000 silver shekels, there will be only briars and thorns. Men will go there with bow and arrow, for the land will be covered with briars and thorns. As for all the land hills once cultivated by the hoe, you will no longer go there for fear of the briars and thorns. They will become places where cattle are turned loose and where sheep run."
Do please keep that passage open. It'll be great. Let's pray before we look at it again. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your words, the Bible. Thank you that in the Bible you teach us all that we need to know. Please help us to understand this tricky passage this morning. Help us to hear you speaking personally to each one of us. Help us to respond with obedience and faith. In Jesus' name, amen. When life is tough, where do you look for help? When faced with overwhelming opposition and hostility, to whom do you look for deliverance? When faced with daily decisions and challenges in life, where do you put your trust? Where do you put your hope? These are exactly the questions that Isaiah 7 raises for us this morning. For those of us who were away at Letton Hall last week, we're starting a new series back in the book of Isaiah. And last week, Chris gave a sermon on the first part of Isaiah 7. He gave a bit of a summary of it for us at Letton Hall on the Friday night. And I'm going to just recap it for us, as there are lots of names and places that may be confusing us. So on your on the back of your notice sheet, there's a bit of a handout. I've put a bit of sort of background information at the top, which hopefully you'll find helpful. Ahaz was king of Judah. That's the southern part of Israel, where Jerusalem is. The northern part, called Israel or Ephraim, is ruled by Pekah. And we had Ahaz, king of Judah. We have Pekah, king of Israel. Then we also have Syria up here, and Syria also called Aram. It's called Aram in the NIV, Syria in the ESV. They make an alliance with Israel, and they plan to go and attack Judah. The reason is they are afraid of Assyria. So it's a bit confusing, these names. We've got Syria and we've got Assyria, and Assyria are the great superpower of the day. And Israel and Syria are afraid of Assyria. So they want to make an alliance. They want to come and attack Judah and get Judah on their side. And God has God has a simple message for Ahaz. Ahaz is terrified. We see that last week in the first part of the chapter. He's terrified. He's shaking with fear. God has a simple message, and he basically says, don't be afraid, trust me. Ahaz is afraid, shaking with fear. But look at verse 4. God says, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. These are God's words to Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah. Verse 7. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. Judah won't be destroyed by this alliance of Israel and Syria if they fully trust God. Look at the end of verse 9. God has a clear message for Ahaz. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. What is required from Ahaz in his moment of fear? Faith. He must trust God fully. So, this is a message which is really contemporary and relevant for us today. As we sing, when faced with trials on every side, we know the outcome is secure. This is the sort of faith we must hold on to in the ups and downs of life. There is one alliance to be made, to be fully depending on God. This is a sort of faith Ahaz needs to have, but he doesn't. Ahaz is a wicked king, and I want us just to see how bad and how foolish he is. So if you don't mind, could you turn back to 2 Kings 16 in your Bibles, please? 2 Kings 16, let me read verse 2 to 4. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 16 years. Unlike David, his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and even sacrificed his own son in the fire, following the detestable ways of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the high places, on the hilltop, and under every spreading tree. Remember, God has told Ahaz to stand firm in his faith and rely on him. But look and see what he does. In 2 Kings 16, verse 7, Ahaz sent messengers to say to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, I am your servant and vassal. Come up and save me out of the hands of the king of Aram and of the king of Israel who are attacking me. And Ahaz took silver and gold found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace and sent it as a gift to the king of Assyria. Ahaz goes to the king of Assyria and asks for help. The superpower of the day, the strongest army, the safest place, the one to cry out to for deliverance, the king to trust. But God has told Ahaz he must trust him. Ahaz is an evil man whose faith is not in God, but in Assyria to deliver him. And with this in mind, I want us to see three things this morning back in Isaiah 7. God's grace, God's warning, and God's promise. So firstly then, God's grace. God has already been very gracious to Ahaz. He describes the kings Ahaz is afraid of as two smouldering stubs of firewood. They're fag ends in the street, smouldering away, waiting for someone to tread on and put them out. God has spoken to Ahaz with kindness and offered great reassurance. He has nothing to fear if he'll trust God. Isaiah is sent as God's messenger to speak to Ahaz, and he takes his son, Shear-Jashub. Now, as you know, names in the Bible are significant. Isaiah means God is salvation, and Shear-Jashub means a remnant will return. Through Isaiah and his son, God is telling Ahaz loud and clear that he alone is the one who can save Judah. God is salvation. And that no matter what happens to God's people, a remnant will be spared. A remnant will be kept, and a remnant will return. But after all this, God gives Ahaz another chance. God says to Ahaz, if you're still scared and unsure, then pick a sign, any sign you choose. A supernatural sign from the deepest depths to the highest heights. Well, look, verse 10, back in Isaiah 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Now, don't be deceived. Just because Ahaz is quoting the Bible doesn't mean anything other than he's a hypocrite. Yes, we shouldn't put God to the test, but here God is offering Ahaz a sign to confirm what he's saying. And really, Ahaz is simply acting, once again, in unbelief. He doesn't want the sign because he doesn't want to trust God. The enemy just looks too big and strong. Have you ever felt like that? This one is just too big for God. God can't intervene here. I need to take matters into my own hands this time. Or maybe we've said, perhaps without realising it, I need to look for deliverance from someone rather more tangible and real, rather more powerful than God. God even calls Ahaz House of David, verse 13, as if to remind him of who he is, who God is. Ahaz is on the throne of King David. God has promised that there will always be that there will always be a king in David's line. God has been gracious to Ahaz. God knows he's weak. He knows he needs help. And he's offering a sign just to convince weak-minded Ahaz that he must trust God. But Ahaz throws it back in God's face. We see God's grace all around us. And of course, grace is grace because it's offered to those who don't deserve it. And we all tend to be like Ahaz, fearful about the future, overwhelmed by life's problems, and torn between who to trust. But we need to recognise God's grace for what it is. It's held out for us. We only need to take hold of it to accept that Jesus must be Lord of every part of our life. Don't take things into your own hands. Don't try and be the hero. God offers us grace, and rather than reject it, perhaps sounding pious and religious like Ahaz, we need to simply cling to it. It's God's grace and his faithfulness that will keep us from falling. So we've seen God's grace. Secondly, God's warning. Verse 13. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Isaiah has switched from calling God your God to Ahaz to calling him my God. The point is clear. Ahaz has rejected God's loving rule. And the harrowing warning for Ahaz and us is God will now reject Ahaz. God will give Ahaz a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The sign is a child who will be born. Emmanuel means God with us. And the sign is to show Ahaz that God is with his people always and will save a remnant who will return no matter what. Much has been written and speculated about this sign. It certainly points us to Jesus, and we're going to get there soon. But as Old Testament prophecies so often have two or more layers of fulfillment, I think this sign could well be speaking of a child born to a young woman in Ahaz's time, perhaps even Hezekiah, or maybe Isaiah's son in Isaiah 8, verse 3. And the point is clear in verse 16, though. Before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The sign is that very soon this child who grows up in poverty, while he's still very young, Israel and Syria, Aram, will be destroyed. And 3 years later, Syria fell to the superpower Assyria in 732 BC. 10 years after that, Israel fell to Assyria, 722 BC. But the warning is for Ahaz. So look at verse 17. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. God will bring terrible judgment on Ahaz and on Judah. Whilst the semblance of a monarchy lasted another century, the reality was never restored. From the time of his disbelief, Ahaz and his descendants would reign as puppet kings, overshadowed by the might of first Assyria and then Babylon, until the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC. We'll just glance at how terrible this judgment God pronounces on Ahaz is. God will use these powerful nations. They're at his disposal. God whistles to them, like we might whistle, call for a dog. And they're at God's beck and call. So verse 18, in that day the Lord will whistle for flies from the distant streams of Egypt and from bees from the land of Assyria. They will all come and settle in the steep ravines and in the crevices in the rock and on the thorn bushes and at all the water holes. Shame will be brought on God's people. Verse 20. In that day, the Lord will use a razor hired from beyond the river, the king of Assyria, to shave your head and the hair of your legs and to take off your beards also. This is a sign of disgrace. Assyria, who Ahaz thought he had hired to protect him, well, actually, God has hired Assyria to bring about his judgment on Judah. The land will be sparsely populated. I think the abundance of milk is being ironic. The land will be goods for nothing. The land is covered in briars and thorn bushes. Everything of value is lost. The judgment God brings on Ahaz is devastating. What Ahaz does is a bit like this. Imagine for a minute you're a mouse and you are afraid of being attacked by another mouse. Well, who are you going to call on to help you? Well, I think you probably won't call on is a cat. That would be stupid. That would be a silly thing to do. And when I was growing up, we had a cat, Tigger, and she used to bring in mice and rabbits and birds in through the cat flap and sort of play with them in the kitchen floor, in the utility room floor, and sort of tease the mice before killing them and eating them. So here, the mouse, Judah, looks to the cat for help against another mouse, Israel. And obviously, we know what's going to happen. The cat will be happy. He'll eat both mice. And that's exactly what happens. We today must hear the warning that if we reject God and turn elsewhere for help, then he will reject us. There is a coming judgment. And no one is safe unless their trust is fully in God. God's word, God's promise, centered on God's Son, Jesus. There we are safe and secure. But if we're not in Christ, then our future destruction is certain and our judgment fatal. We must remember that when we're tempted to make alliances. I mean, when we're tempted to look elsewhere for salvation. So please be honest with yourself this morning. Where do you place your security? I expect for many we'll look to our families, our marriage partner, perhaps in a relationship we don't have. Maybe we'll look for it in our status, who we are, what others think of us. Many here, I'm sure, will be placing security in our finances or in our possessions. But these things won't last. And the irony here is that Assyria, who Ahaz thought he could trust, well, Assyria will turn around and destroy Ahaz. Where we look for our deliverance, if anywhere other than God, very often will turn around and bite us. If, when we're faced with trials, we look to money, for example, to rescue us, a good job, well paid, nice house, a comfortable lifestyle, then that may become our downfall. We'll always want more. We'll work harder for more money, even if it takes us away from church and from gospel purposes, gospel priorities. It will never satisfy us. It will just leave us feeling empty. It will take our eyes away from the prize of heaven. Money will become our master, not God. If we look to the world to deliver us, to give us what we need, then eventually the world will turn on us and destroy us. That is the lesson here, as Ahaz trusts in Assyria and rejects God. He's picked the wrong team. He's chosen a mere human who God whistles for to control. A superpower, yes, but not a super God. Even the strongest nation is brought to nothing before God. So this is a warning, not just for Ahaz, but for us. Where we put our trust matters. Where we look for deliverance matters. Because there is a future judgment. When we stand before God, the only place safe is Christ, is in Christ. I like the illustration Sam used a few weeks ago. He said, when faced with a man with a bazooka or some great, big, long, powerful weapon like that, then where is the only place safe? What should you do? He said, you should hug that man, because it is only as you are joined to him that you are safe from the out of harm's way. The bullets from that weapon can't harm you. It's only as we're joined to Christ and trusting him fully, alone, trusting in God alone for our salvation, that we are safe. So God's grace, God's warning, and finally, God's promise. Let's look back at this sign God promises. Verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel. At one level, we've seen a sign of judgment on Ahaz. But this sign has is deeper, is more profound, because it finds fulfillment 700 years later in the birth of a baby. We may hear these words and think, it's Christmas. The sign points forward to our promised Messiah, to Jesus. Jesus is God with us on earth. The sign is the promise of a rescuing king, a king who will rule on David's throne, a king who won't make the mistakes of Ahaz, one who will be pure and blameless. Just glance over to chapter 9. Let me read from verse 6, talking about this child. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. We know this sign of a baby, Emmanuel, is picked up in the New Testament. It's picked up by Matthew. He refers back to it and says, here is this child, Jesus. He is the one who represents God living amongst his people. He is the one who was promised. Ahaz, you may think you don't need God, but here is a sign that you do. God will raise up his king. And we must one day all give an account to God's king, Jesus. We will stand before his throne. He will be our judge. The question is, will we submit to God's king? Not Ahaz, Jesus. He is the one who perfectly obeys and trusts God. And even when we look back and see times this past week when we've looked to the wrong places, the wrong powers, the wrong people to save us, God wants us to come back and trust his Son. It is through him we know forgiveness and deliverance. It is through him that we have life. So God's promise is of a king. We must ask ourselves, is he the one in whom we trust? No matter what we're facing, and I know many of us are suffering, whether it be broken relationships, threats of redundancy, pressures at work, whatever it is that we're going through, there is only one king who can save us from it, Jesus. He will get us through life. If we can only look beyond our situation, we will see that we are safe with Christ. He saves us from our greatest problem, from sin and judgment, and he can deliver us from every other battle we face too, because he gives us life, a life with him that carries on beyond death, a life where we will end in his presence, worshipping the Lord Jesus forever. God's grace, God's warning, God's promise. What a contemporary message from Isaiah the prophet. We know we are tempted all the time to do an Ahaz, to turn from God and put our confidence elsewhere, whether in ourselves or others. We can be grateful here for God's warning. May we place our confidence in our God and in Jesus, his promised Son. Not looking elsewhere, but trusting God's deliverance through his promised rescuing King. Let's just have a moment. Maybe you want to just pray in the quietness of your own heart in response to what we've seen in Isaiah.